Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress T, and always, always, always wonderful to be able to communicate with you, to dialogue with you, to exchange thoughts with you, and certainly to build and strive for true liberation. This night, we are unfortunately a little saddened. We got some news earlier that one of our brothers made transition last night. And so we're going to dedicate this radio program tonight to our brother, Ahmed Taher, who was the founder, the owner of the Pearl of Africa, one of our cultural shops here in Philadelphia. We've had, meaning UMWM, we've had several kinds of events and activities there over the course of the past couple of years, and was really looking forward to continuing to build. The brother was on our show a couple of times and, was just a real, real asset in our community, given the fact especially that Philadelphia has really went on a decline when it comes to real progressive kinds of folk, and especially those who really strive towards self-determination. And Brother Ahmed certainly was one of those brothers. And so we send our love and appreciation to his family this evening, and certainly he will be missed in the physical form, but we know that in the spiritual form we will certainly be able to connect and just, interact in that way, and we look forward to doing that because he is now an ancestor, and as a brother said earlier, he's a young ancestor, the brother was, I think in his maybe mid-40s, something like that, but nevertheless, again, he's going to definitely be missed. So before we go on with tonight's program, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. We are always very, very cognitive of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And with that said, family, I'm so happy to really convey to you that, we are starting to meet folks that are really about it. And what I mean by that is, it's been a real battle, all across the board to connect with brothers and sisters that were not only serious, but were just, extremely committed to the work that is necessary to do. And I can tell you these past few months has really proven to be something that I've looked forward to for a while and will continue to look forward to. I've just met so many wonderful brothers and sisters over the past few years, of course, but certainly in these past few months, it just seemed like some pieces are really coming together. And we feel very, very blessed because of that. There's going to be some real progress made, and we know that you're going to see it. We've been connecting with brothers and sisters all over the country who are doing incredible, incredible things, and now we're going to be able to bring some of that together, and you're going to see that as this summer unfolds. You are going to see some of the unity, some of the solidarity that we have often talked about, but unfortunately we're not able to really exhibit in any kind of real concrete nor longevity kind of way, but we're really, really seeing that manifest. One of our brothers, Brother Shango Wandi, is developing a cultural center here in Philadelphia that is completely self-determined. That is, it takes up an entire block, the building. It's just a wonderful endeavor, and you're going to be hearing more about that in the very near future as well. I'm going to be doing some cooking classes there, some yoga classes there, and we're just going to really, really just fill this city back up with the kind of spirit that used to be here a few years ago before folks got 501 crazy and you know, I want to work for the government crazy and all other kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, it used to be trying to be about independence or trying to be about self-determination, and they just forgot all about that. But fortunately, again, we see the resurrection of that spirit coming about. And, again, we're going to tell you more about that as we move forward this year, as we now begin our fifth year of bringing you New Day Resurrection and Liberation. Okay, before we take a break, I want to remind you that next Saturday is our kickoff day for the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Our Women and Girls. This campaign is powerful, to say the least. And it's definitely one that is, it's past its time, to be honest, but fortunately it is here now. But the other beautiful thing about it is that unlike European kinds of things, this entails brothers, meaning as we deal with this issue of gender violations of our women and girls, we have brothers who are standing up, taking a clear position about this. And what we're going to begin to do is to convey to you the various men's groups that we will have contacted. We've already contacted some, and most of them have not responded. Most of them would not respond to our request of participating or, you know, considering adopting some of our programs or whatever for their what they do. And I'm talking about groups that are anti-violence, you know, they get out in the street and do different rallies at different times. They have other little programs, you know, sometimes they talk about men's issues or whatever. The bottom line is there are a lot of anti-violence groups, and their primary thing, of course, is guns, gang, drugs. And so, you know, that's all cool because that's what the government wants them to do. But from a community standpoint, we want to see some things that's happening in our homes, in our communities, and we're talking about gender violations. And so it's wonderful, again, to see some brothers understanding, overstanding that reality, having in some incidents seeing it, experiencing it themselves, and have no problems with, you know, saying and dealing with the fact that we've got to address this as a community, as a family, and that they're ready to do so. And so, again, I appreciate those brothers so very, very much, and I'm going to, you know, keep saying that. So, at any rate, we're going to talk more about that. But, again, next Saturday, May the 12th, is the kickoff day. It'll take place here in Philadelphia. It's going to also take place in a few other cities. People are asked to do something on that day. Even if you just do a couple of phone calls, send out some emails, send out some texts with some information. Information can be about some statistic or article that you read or anything dealing with the issue of violence and abuse about women and girls and what we call gender violations. Okay, that's our terminology. We're not talking about just domestic violence. That's someone else's idea, concept, and so forth. And it's applicable, but we're talking about something else. We're talking about that and then some. Okay, we're going to talk about exploitation because as we move into June, we want to again activate some of our strategies in dealing with some of the music that's being put out there and other types of entertainment, if you want to call it that. A lot of it looks like, you know, pornography to me, but nevertheless, we want to really start highlighting who these people are that's doing this and why Nicki Minaj and the rest of these fools, they need to really be dealt with by sisters, okay? All of that, you know, it's freedom of speech and all, that's all cool, but sisters still need to say, you're out of your freaking mind, and we need to just call it just like that and not be afraid to say so because our daughters need to hear us. They need to hear us. They need to understand that this is what we're saying and doing. So with that said, next Saturday, May the 12th, is a kickoff day to begin a national campaign to focus on the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls nationwide, all types of violations. And we remind you again, of course, Rekia Boyd, we have not received a report from the so-called authorities in Chicago about this case. Family, please continue to call them. We're talking about the mayor, the police commissioner, the alderman of that district, you name it. Okay, we have that information. We'll give it some of it out again tonight. Also, if you email us, we will send it to you. But remember, please continue. Now, the thing I can report to you about Rekia Boyd's situation is this. I did call Danny Davis's office, Congressman Danny Davis. I called his office this week. I spoke with his scheduler as well as his receptionist, and I made it very clear that we really need to hear his position. I requested a meeting with him, so they're going to get back to me with that. I also requested a meeting with Congressman Bobby Rush, since that was the congressman who got on the floor, the House floor, a few weeks ago and put on his hoodie to show his outrage about the brother, Trayvon Martin. And he put on his hoodie, and, you know, people just thought that was such a wonderful thing. And, okay, that was good, but here we have a sister murdered by a cop. Okay, now, Congressman Rush, what are you wearing about there? And even more so, Congressman Danny Davis, this was in your district that this happened, that Rekia was killed in his district. So he definitely needs to be saying something and doing something. So, again, we did contact his office a few days ago. We did speak with his representative, and she did say to me that she would definitely call me back soon with a position on what the congressman is saying about this case, okay? Now, the other thing, too, is more than likely I will be able to put in Mr. Farrakhan's hand tomorrow the information about Rekia, because, again, the Nation of Islam is based in Chicago, and certainly they are aware of the case, but I like to do things a little more directly when possible, and so I like to be able to get it to him specifically, just as I did with the Scott sisters case. I made him aware of it directly, one-on-one. And as a result, an article was put in the final call. Okay, so that's what's going on with that. There is some other things going on, of course, the case of Jasmine Tarr. That, of course, is the sister who was killed by a rifle bullet that supposedly the gun went off accidentally in someone's home, and this guy is still not arrested. This happened in December. You know, I saw an interview with the lawyer that is representing the family, and oh, my gosh. I mean, they say that he is, you know, top-notch, but let me tell you, I'm scared of him, not really scared of him. I'm really scared for the family because he struck me as, he struck me as being really, really, I don't know how to put this. I'll go back to that later, but I'll just say that would never be anybody I would hire. Let's put it that way, okay? Now, I'll think of another adjective to describe him later, but right now I can't think of one. I would just all I can say is I wouldn't hire him. I would never hire him. He just strikes me as someone who would just be, you know, afraid to really pursue, you know, because he talked about, you know, the justice is going to, I don't know, it was crazy. But anyway, the bottom line is we need to really stay abreast of that case as well. Now, a brother contacted me earlier this week and told me about another case, and I think he might be calling in tonight, Brother Darian, and so we need to be abreast of another case. Now, we want to also remind you that on next Saturday, we are going to bring pictures and names of women and girls who have been murdered from all over the country. Here in Philadelphia, of course, there is several. There is, of course, Camila Amin, who was ran over in the street after having some words with the guy. This guy got in the car and drove her over and then backed the car up, and she died maybe 2 days later. She was pregnant. And then you had LaToya, I believe her name was, from last year here in Philadelphia, 21 years old student, Cheney University, a mother who leaves the traffic court building and comes outside, and not one, not two, but three guys jump on her. She dies from blunt trauma, head trauma, and she was pregnant. And these men in this city didn't say anything. The groups of men that have all these different rallies, and when gunshots go off in the community and they rally and have visuals and all of that, they said nothing, did nothing. So this is the kind of behavior that we're dealing with all over the country. So anyway, moving right along, before we go to our phone lines for tonight, what I'd like to do is, again, for the family of Brother Ahmed Tayer over at the Pearl of Africa, Brother, we're going to miss you, and to the family, much love and respect to you. And I just want to play something briefly in remembrance of him, of Brother Ahmed. And again, his spirit is definitely going to be with us, so, you know, it's not like he's gone totally. But something that I know that he would like, and I'm going to play this for him, for us, and that is by Donny Hathaway. It's called Someday We'll All Be Free. Again, goes out to the family of Brother Ahmed Tayer from the Pearl of Africa. Someday we'll all be free, and hopefully this brother is going to a much better place than this place. Well, with that said, you know, we also are remembering some other things that occurred around this time. Of course, next week is Mother's Day, but for Philadelphia and for many throughout the country, we remember Mother's Day in some other kinds of ways, not just the joyous day that, you know, we want to share with our mothers. Unfortunately, there was a tragedy, to say the least, that occurred here in Philadelphia in 1985 on, of all days, Mother's Day. Well, for those who don't know, well, you're going to know tonight. And so, as Nina Simone once said, once you know, you can never not know again. We're talking about the bombing of not just a headquarters, a family, of the entire block, an entire black community where 11 people were murdered. We're going to talk to Sister Ramona Africa in a few minutes. Indeed, indeed. And my Ma'at Hotep again to everyone. And remember, there can be no Hotep unless there is Ma'at. There can be no peace unless there is justice. And certainly when we talk about justice, if you have lived in this contemporary time, to have heard or to know that, in fact, a bomb was dropped in this city. Now, for some that may be listening, this might be something very new to you. And, of course, for those who are familiar with it, then you know what we're talking about. We're going to continue to raise this issue, this question, as we should, because, again, you know, there can be no peace without justice. What can I say? And so with that said, for those who are here in Philadelphia or wherever you were and heard about it, then you had to know that that was not only an injustice, that was genocide or an attempted genocide, okay, in a modern-day kind of way. And it was also a message. It was a message to all of us as to what this government not only can do, will do. So what we're going to do now is, again, not just remind you that this happened, but also to motivate you to do something. I mean, if you're not already, then certainly this dialogue should help encourage you to do something. But for those who are, we thank you for the continued support and work that you've done in helping to bring the Move 9 home, because that's really what we're going to also talk about. That's really what the bombing was also about. Well, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to Sister Ramona Africa, who will not only give you a overview of what happened in 1978, and then, of course, 1985, but also what's getting ready to happen this week, as we commemorate, as we further examine, as we continue to fight to bring the Move 9 home, but also in order to obtain justice. Because there's no way that these people can do that and just totally get away with it. I mean, that's just insane. And so I'm saying to all of you, you have to search your heart and your mind at some point in time and really ask, what can possibly be done to not just rectify the havoc and the destruction that these people have done, but as a people, how can we at some point respond to this? But for now, we know what we need to do now. And what we need to do now is we need to continue to mobilize, organize, and deal with direct action. Sister Mona, are you on this line?
I'm on the line, on the Move.
I know that's right.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the information you've been putting out, because we have to move away from simply having feelings and emotions. We have to move toward action. I mean, if we ever expect to improve our condition and to demand justice and get justice, you know, and ever really be free, as Donnie Hathaway was saying, someday we'll all be free. Well, that's only going to happen when our freedom and justice and what's right is our priority. There can be nothing else more important than that to us. Otherwise, we will compromise it. And at this point in time, in the year 2012, there are countless, and I mean countless, examples of the brutality, just unadulterated sadism that this system have rained down on our people, on people of color, you know, on poor people, even some poor whites. There are just countless examples. And it's going to be that way until we stop it. We are our own liberators, our own saviors. And we got to, you know, really internalize that, because there is no Messiah, no, you know, savior that's going to come along and wave a magic wand and clear up all of the problems that we experience. We have to do that ourselves, you know, with unity, with commitment, with revolution that starts with self. You mentioned the bombing of my family, which happened in May of 1985. The attack on me and my family was initiated by officials of this system on Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day of 1985, and went into Monday, May 13th of 1985, when they actually dropped the bomb. Now, what I want people to really understand is that this was not done out of any kind of confusion or things going awry or because of any complaints from neighbors. None of that is at the root of the way this government comes at MOVE. This government, those running it, come at MOVE the way they do and want to exterminate us, eliminate us, break up this organization, because they cannot intimidate us. They cannot break this organization up. They cannot stop us. They can hurt us. We're alive. We're living beings. You know, we have feelings. We can be hurt. But we will not and cannot be stopped. And that is why this government goes all out to try to kill off the MOVE organization. We will not compromise our belief. We have family members that have been in prison, as you stated, since August of 1978, when this government under Mayor Frank Rizzo attacked MOVE. That was the first major, not the first, but the first major attack on my family. And as a result of their fervor to kill my family, men, women, babies, animals, anything related to MOVE, they ended up killing one of their own, you know. And we are confident in that because we know that no MOVE people killed Officer James Ramp. He obviously was shot by friendly fire, but having failed to kill my family on August 8th of 1985, the next best thing to them was to put my family away for as long as possible. They certainly weren't going to say, oh, we made a mistake, we messed up, or, you know, Bramp got killed, but Move didn't do it. Tag, you know, and just let Move people go, you know, not press any charges or minor little charges against Move. They were not going to do that. They would die and go to hell before they acknowledged that my family did not commit any crime on August 8th. As a result, 9 of my families were sent to jail for 30 to 100 years each. And we've been fighting for the release of our innocent family members ever since. And we have not stopped, and we will not stop. It is that unrelenting fight for our family and exposing the conspiracy of those running this system to try to keep my family in prison until they die that resulted in the bombing of Move, because they could not stop us and cannot stop us. So officials just determined, well, we just have to kill them. We just have to get rid of them, you know. And that is what the bombing in May of 1985 is about. Now, the message that Move really wants to send people and the example that we have set is that when you are committed and what you're committed to is right, you can't be stopped. I don't care what these people come at you with. The truth that John Africa have unleashed through the Move organization, it's been unleashed. It can't be stopped. It can't be taken back. It's like trying to unring a bell, you know. Mm-hmm. It cannot be done. And Move people are totally committed to the revolution, which starts with self, the revolution of self. The one thing that puts Move people into the flow of revolution is that we don't believe in, trust, or want anything from this system. It has nothing good to give us. Nothing. And that is why and how we are able to keep going and keep fighting. It's the reason that Move people can't be bought off, you know, can't be co-opted back into the system with pledges of jobs and positions and social status, et cetera. That stuff means nothing to us. Nothing. And, you know, that's why Move people have been fighting close to 40 years now, you know, and will continue to fight, putting a priority on the release of our family members. I mean, we just cannot tolerate the fact that our innocent family members were unjustly put in prison in the first place and have been unjustly imprisoned for 34 years this year for a crime they did not commit. And, you know, children like our brother Mike Africa, who was born in prison in September of 1978. His mother was 8 months pregnant with him when the police attacked in August of 78. She gave birth to him in a jail cell. He is now married with 4 children of his own. You know, and Mike nor his children have ever been with his parents and their grandparents except on a prison visit in their entire life. That is completely unacceptable. When you look at other political prisoners as well, Dr. Matulu Shakur, Sundiata Okoli, Sekou Odinga, Leonard Peltier, the Puerto Rican independentistas. I mean, you can go down the list. We cannot afford to sit back and allow our soldiers, our freedom fighters, to be labeled criminal and allow them to sit in jail for decade after decade and ultimately die in jail. I mean, we just cannot afford to do that. We are working against ourselves. We are signing our own death warrant when we do that. Why do people think that these cops feel like they can shoot people down in the street 20, 30, 40 times, shoot at them, and walk away from it like, no big deal? If they feel like they can drop a bomb and burn babies alive, why wouldn't they feel like they can shoot people down in the street? You know, we cannot afford to sit back and allow these things to continue. How can we demand respect, you know, from anybody if we are not doing what's necessary to demonstrate that we respect ourselves enough to fight for ourselves, to stand up for ourselves, and not simply mumble and grumble and complain and philosophize and theorize and debate, you know, and discuss all of the problems and not deal with the solution. The solution is very simple. John Africa teaches that solution is in the absence of the problem, to quote John Africa.
Wow.
And just that simple. You know, we are the solution that is necessary to absent the problem, which is this system. Only we can get rid of this system and all of its problems. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to stop believing in it, stop
That's
giving
right.
it our energy, you
That's
know,
right. That's
stop
right.
being tricked by it into thinking that it has anything to offer us. What have we gained since the inception of this system? You know, I spoke at the University of Penn the other night, and one thing I was telling them is I know there's a lot of Christians out there
mm-hmm.
and people that believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what I explained was that over 2,000 years ago, when word spread that this Christ child would be born, you know, that this boy child was coming to bring
mm-hmm.
truth and peace to the world,
mm-hmm.
the government in the form of King Herod went berserk and sent his soldiers out to kill every newborn boy child in an attempt to stop this boy child that was predicted from being born and bringing truth and peace to the world. Nothing has changed in 2012 years. The mentality of government of the current modern day contemporary King Herods is the same. They cannot afford to allow truth and peace to reign. And they are determined to stamp out and get rid of anything or anybody that promotes and endorses and is able to bring truth and peace. You know? This is why we cannot afford to stop you know, fighting. It is the reason that we cannot afford to believe in anything coming from the system. And it's the reason that we cannot afford to abandon our frontline soldiers, like the Muvdar, like Mumia, like, you know, all the other freedom fighters out there, Russell Schultz, you know?
Yes.
We can't afford to do that. You know, we just cannot afford it. The Mu family is committed, you know, have committed our lives to fighting this system that is, you know, has its foot on all of our necks, you know, that is oppressing, misleading, robbing us of everything, right? It has robbed us of our mothers, our fathers, our children, robbed us of our health, you know, our satisfaction, you know, any happiness. We don't even know what happiness is.
Right.
Because we've never experienced it because of this rotten system that we live under. And it's a double-bladed axe because this system have robbed us of everything, right, and tricked us into supporting it, endorsing it, perpetuating, thinking that we can't exist without it, you know? So, I mean, we're writing our own unhappiness, our own death warrants, for real, when we support this system in any way. Like I said, what have we gained from it? Are people stronger today than they were 100 years ago? Happier? You know? No. Is there less crime? Is the air cleaner or even as clean as the water? You know, as clear as it was 100 years ago? Things are not getting better. They are steadily getting worse. And people continue to hold on to this rotten system that is the cause of everything that I just named. It is the cause of all of the problems existing. This is why John Africa's teaching is so important. It's so simple and so clear and gives us direction, you know, that is urgently necessary. And we don't force our belief on anybody. We simply do our work and set
right.
the example. But we do teach people and put out information to people and set an example for people, you know, because it's necessary. I mean, it's just frightening the way things are going, you know, how those representing this system are really just slapping people in the face and telling people to like it, you know. I mean, every day there's something coming out and showing people how this system is not operating in our interest for our
right.
benefit. You know, I mean, how many examples do we need to let go of it? I mean, if you go to a butcher shop to buy your meat, and every single time you go there and put your trust in it and spend your money there, give this butcher your hard-earned money, and come home, and every single time when you open the wrapper, you know, of your meat, it's rotten, and you just keep going back. Just keep going back. Just keep believing in that butcher. Just keep giving him your money and keep getting rotten meat. I mean, when are you going to stop and excuse me, and say this is not working?
Mm-hmm.
You know when?
It seems that there is a serious programming, and now it's to the point where, you know, the lines are really being drawn in the sand, because these people have really gotten what I call the new Negro, you see. And these new Negroes, they are there to, when they see folks like us doing what we do, they're there to do everything possible for NASA to make sure that they try to stop us. And so lines are definitely being drawn in the sand. People are going to really have to identify who they are very, very soon, because this stuff is getting locked down.
And stop allowing our enemy to select who our so-called leaders are.
Go ahead, Mona.
I'm telling you. They have people selected so that when something happens, when they do their dirty work and, you know, people do feel the urgent necessity to rise up and say, oh, no, this is unacceptable, you know, and vent their anger, they already have these people in place to say, now, we don't want any violence. Just be calm. You know, I went to a program a few weeks back, and the parents of Trayvon Martin were brought in.
Oh, okay.
And before they were even brought in, the person who was, you know, heading the program said, you know, there's been a lot of talk and people are angry, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we just want to make it clear. I've spoken with, you know, Trayvon Martin's parents, and they want it understood. They don't want any, you know, violence or anger. We've spoken with Angela Corey, the special prosecutor, and we, you know, believe and trust that she's going to do the right thing. This was before the charges were instituted against Zimmerman, that man Zimmerman. And I would say we have, you know, faith that she'll do the right thing, and we have faith in the system that it will work. And I had to get up and walk out into the hallway because my brain is screaming, faith based on what? On what example? What are you talking about? You know, and even if charges are instituted, because this was before the announcement came out that second-degree murder charges were being put on this man, I was saying that even if charges are put on this man, that doesn't mean he's going to be convicted. That he's going to pay for what he did. And the thing is, why is all this investigating happening? When May 13th happened, I didn't kill anybody. I was attacked. My family was attacked. But I wasn't investigated. I was arrested. You know?
And they had that man in custody
and let him go.
And let me add, you know, to those who, again, don't know, Sister Ramona is, of course, the only surviving adult from that bomb being dropped, and was arrested and served how many years, Mona?
7 years. 7 years for riot.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
7 years. And she could have really been out sooner if she had did what they said, which was, oh, we'll let you out if you promise or you agree not to have anything else to do with the MOVE organization. We'll let you out earlier.
They certainly
do. This is the kind of stuff that these people do. So for those of you who thought anything other than the realities of what we're trying to convey to you, you really need to think twice, maybe even three times. But for real, what we're telling you is truth. These people are beyond insane, beyond.
Yeah. Right now, they're telling my family, the parole board is telling my family, the Move 9, that they're being denied parole because they won't, quote, unquote, take responsibility for the crimes committed on August 8th, 1978, and in particular the death of Officer James Ramp. And my family has been telling them, and the evidence shows it, that they didn't kill James Ramp on August 8th of 78. They did not commit the crime. When they say take responsibility for it, they're saying admit guilt. Say you're guilty, you know. Yeah. And they're being denied parole because they will not lie and say they're guilty of something that they're not guilty of. You know, they told me and several of my sisters and brothers that they would not parole us because we wouldn't agree to their special stipulation that we leave MOVE and have nothing to do with MOVE. Now they're telling the MOVE 9, telling my MOVE family members that they're not being paroled because they won't lie and say they're guilty, won't take responsibility, quote unquote.
Is that like something called coercion?
Oh, yes. Oh, which is supposed to be against their laws because according to their constitution, the Fifth Amendment, nobody can be forced to incriminate themselves, even if they are guilty, not to mention if they're innocent. And to try to force somebody to say they're guilty, especially when they're not. I mean, isn't that a violation of the Fifth Amendment of incriminating yourself? You know, and what are they saying? That everybody that's in prison and that goes before the parole board is guilty, you know, and has to say they're guilty, has to admit guilt? Well, then explain all of the countless people that they have had to release from prison after decade after decade after decade of being in prison because of DNA tests, because of new evidence, or, you know, someone else coming forward and confessing and proving that they, in fact, admitted the crime. And they have had to release the person that they swore was guilty and had in prison for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, and had to release them because they were not guilty. But they want to demand that not just my family, not just, this is not a MOVE issue. They do, the parole boards do this kind of stuff across the country, all across the country, you know. I mean, right now, they have a brother named Veronzo Bowers in prison, and he served every bit of his time. But they refused to release him because when he maxed out, when he did his whole entire sentence and should be released, what was about to be released, the Homeland Security Department decided that he was a threat to society and refused to allow him to be released, ordered that he not be released. Now, this man did all his time, all of his time. I mean, what is it going to take for people to understand who our enemy is and treat our enemy as the enemy and not a friend?
That's right.
I mean, these people ain't got nothing that I want. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know? So MOVE people can't be bought. You know, I mean, there's nothing that exist in this system that would cause me to even think about compromising revolution, compromising the fight for what is right, for anything in this system. Nothing. And let me make this clear. There is nothing wrong with indulging in certain things. If you like movies, nothing wrong with going to the movies sometime, or if you like to dance or whatever. But those wearing jewelry or whatever, but none of those things can ever be more important to us than freedom, than revolution, than the fight for our lives, our children's lives, their children's lives. See, that's where the problem comes in. Nobody is saying give up everything and, you know, don't do nothing but fight, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, ain't nobody saying that. But we got to know what our priority is and who our enemy is, and never, ever be tricked or fooled about that.
All right. Well, what we're going to do now on that point right there, if someone has a comment or a question they would like to bring forward, we're going to open up the lines now and allow you to talk directly with Sister Ramona. Again, please keep your question and your comment clear, concise, to the point, because we like to have real dialogue here.
Can I just let people know first that Saturday, May 12th, is when we're doing a program not only around the bombing. We will never let people forget that, you know, or let that go, let, you know, that time go without doing something around the bombing. But as you said earlier, our priority is bringing our family, the Move 9, home, because they can't bring our family back to life that they murdered in 1985. But they can be made to give us back our family that they've had locked down in these prisons the last 34 years. We're going to be at Abiding Truth Ministries Church on the corner of 57th in Washington. And that's going to be from 12 to 3 p.m. on Saturday the 12th, a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay. Well, we were going to get to that, and also the other activities that's going to be happening leading up to that. I just wanted to give folks just the opportunity to kind of jump in for a moment and let you take a breath. Caller, you're at, let's see, we're going to go to 9358. That's the last digits of your number. Did you have a comment or a question for Sister Ramona?
Yes, I do. First, I want to say praise Allah that Ramona is still here with us, and her illustrious spirit actually motivates me. And I'm a volunteer member of ATTAC with Michael Cord and Defending the Ancestors. And
right.
Yes. Yes, and like on the 21st of May, we're going to start to organizing a committee to have discussions on to do away with the division that we have in the black community at this point in time in our lives, so that we can go forward as a unit in the struggle. No more are we going to fight each other, and we're going to bring forth the olive branch toward our so-called leaders. We're going to bring them to the table, because there's a big divide between us and our leaders, and we need to stop this, because time is running out. As Ramona said, they have nothing that we really need. That's the reason why they're bothering us. They won't let us rest. They won't let us do anything to think long enough so that we can see that we do not need them. And you will probably find who you are if we could mass ourselves together and start teaching ourselves who we are, because that's what's missing. We're the only ones who's walking around here with the mark on us. But I just want to really praise Allah for Ramona, because she keeps my fire going.
Well, I appreciate that, brother.
All right.
And I just,
oh yeah, she really does. She's and I'm gonna stay in the fight for the rest of my life too, Mona. And you know, we're gonna see each other on the trails as we always have been, and we're gonna fight for righteousness for the rest of our lives. And just wish us luck down there at Attack. I'm gonna put my presentation on, and I hope to get a committee out of there. And once we get that committee, mm-hmm. We're going to hold their feet through the fire, and either we're going to know which side they on. Either they're going to come with us, or either they will officially no longer be our leaders, and we're going to take control.
I just want to point out to people too that Mike Cord from Avenging the Ancestors is going to be with us on Friday, May 11th at Black and Nobel at mm-hmm. 7 p.m. We're doing a teaching on the Rizzo years and police brutality, teaching on Rizzo. And Mike is going to be leading, you know, that discussion along with Sister Barbara Easley, a former Panther, was out there during the Rizzo years. So, we're looking forward to hearing from Michael Kors.
You know something, Ramona?
And for those who don't know, just because we have people that are listening from all over the country, Rizzo is probably one of the worst Nazi police commissioner-minded kind of person you ever wanted to have seen. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about it is, family, that, see, Philadelphia is one of the few cities that even the darn FBI had to investigate because they were so notorious.
Indicted the police department.
Right, that's right, that's right. And, of course, under Rizzo is when the first consultation took place with MOVE in 78. But here's something that everybody need to take note of. How on earth did a statue of this man, like about 10 feet tall, how on earth did that get planted in the front of the municipal services building with his hand up in the air, almost like he's doing a Hail Hitler thing?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
You know something, though? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, brother.
Okay. When Rizzo got in there, that was the first time I seen police brutality. The policemen weren't bad until he got in there. I mean, we used to call them Rizzo Raiders. They were bad, but they were still human, sort of. But, boy, when he got in there, I mean, I said, wow, man. And I think I was just coming out of the Marine Corps, and we was used to sticking together in there. And that's the reason why the European didn't bother us, because we were so united, so thick, they didn't bother us nowhere. So when I came out and seeing what was going on, I said, oh, my God, we going to die out here. They gonna pick us off one by one. And that's what they've been doing ever since I got out the service. And that's the first time I seen that kind of whipped down stuff. I was living in Raymond Rosen Projects.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the riots. I remember all that stuff. I was out in it, too. So, yeah, you know, it's a lot of us left, and we need to tell the truth so that we can correlate this understanding to the revolution movement, that you cannot sit back and just let them dictate. We are part of this, too. And we.
I know people walk around talking about, you know, I'm a woman, I'm a man. Well, we better understand what that means.
That's right.
To be a real woman, a real man.
That's right.
Our character and conduct must come correct in order to really produce the fineness of our beings. Our character and conduct is what they're driving us down to so that we can mimic an animal. That's what they've been saying we are all along, and that's what they're doing with that type of it's not brainwashing, it's that they're hiding so much truths from us that they really don't have to brainwash us. If we could just pick up the turn around the lies they told on us, we would wake up automatically.
We have to get back in touch with our instinct, because instinctively you will know when you're wronged, when you're being wronged, and you will not tolerate it. You know, we need to be more like animals, because if you come at an animal wrong, they're going to let you know it. You know, walk into a lion's den. You know, walk into a lion's den and see what happens.
And that's what I call being sovereign, where he can take care of himself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And that's what we got to do. Take care of ourselves, just like they do. Get in line, get in order. Stop all this acting like... Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. I'm going to let somebody else get in.
Yes, let me get to one more call, and then we're going to go back to Mona and start here to run down for the rest of the week. But thank you, Brother Phillip. Okay, we're going to go to line 4460. You have a comment or a question for Sister Ramona tonight?
Peace, President General Empress Chi, and to our listening audience.
Greetings.
First of all, I want to say to the sister, our sister warrior on the front line for our people, for the liberation of our people, I salute you. I honor you. And it's just so good to know that when I do go around some people before even actually seeing you personally seeing your face, like on some, you know, video or whatever, you know, I really actually resemble you, just like people say. I see me, you and me. And I'm like, wow, but it's just an honor just to have you on the front line. And I just want to know that, let you know that I salute you and I honor your work and I stand in total solidarity. I also want to say to you that my heart is just overjoyed at the difficulties that our other sister warrior, Pam Africa, the little differences we had, we were able to make amends. So I'm definitely grateful and honored that she accepted my apology for the mishap that we had. So I wanted to let you know that. And I just love what you do. I mean, like, and you said some things that the new Negro, wow, we facing a new Negro at an all-time high. You know, that's why I know how it's important for sisters to support and protect and respect one another, is because just even uttering the words that, you know, putting women issues on the forefront, even with our new Negroes today, it's like we being attacked by our own people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I actually can, you know, bear witness to some of those assaults. And you just said it right. We definitely have to do something about the new modern day Negroes that we facing with, and also do anything we can, and not only the ones who we face with, but the ones who are also don't even know that they're working in the interest of white supremacy, white domination, you know, just being brainwashed into thinking that it's okay to dishonor, disrespect the black woman, you know. So I salute you, and we definitely, as women, as well as our brothers who support us, we need to wipe them out. to deal with them. We need to expose them.
New day.
By all means, we need to expose them, because, like the brother said, that, you know, it's really us that's following and acting the way that they want us to act and treat ourselves. So we gotta learn how to speak to one another, to treat one another, and if we don't know how to do that to each other, those who disrespect us as women, as our people, we just gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah,
and we gotta
absolutely.
Treat them just like they're our direct enemy. You know, because repression to me is colorblind. You know, you deal with folks accordingly. They treat you or mistreat you any kind of way, it don't care what color they is, you know, what gender they are, you know, you deal with them accordingly. So once again, I salute you. And anytime you need, you know, a sister, because I know you can handle your own, as well as our president, general, empress, and just as well as myself. But, you know, I'm always here, you know, for you and for empress.
Appreciate that. Just let me see your face, Saturday.
And I will continue to do my part exposing, you know, the gender violation, the hatred, the misogyny of black women across the board. So I stand committed to doing that. So I salute you.
I appreciate that, sister, and I salute you, too, and your commitment. You know,
you.
We need more like you.
Yes, we do, because we need to continue. When our lifespan is gone, you know, we definitely need to. Our spirit needs to live in another human being, another system.
Yeah, in another generation,
we have to put
a fire of revolution in our children. You know, so that they can put it in their children.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, all right.
My
I give thanks.
Here. Thank you.
And
all
you
right.
Too.
Give thanks.
Thanks to you all.
And happy Earth Day.
Thanks. Actually, I'm still in that, you know, thankful mode to just, you know, to be here. You know.
All right.
Right. All right.
The Lion King was wonderful, too. If nobody seen that stage play, they need to go see it. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take care, peace. All right. Peace to you. All right. So we're going to move right along, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the activities that's coming up this week in commemoration, of course, of the MOVE organization, of course, the 1985 bombing. But, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention that, of course, while we talk about the MOVE 9, of course, there is one who unfortunately, you know, passed away while incarcerated, you know, and I have to say that because, you know, we always want to remember our sister Merle and to let, you know, people know that, you know, this has happened, you know, this being incarcerated, I mean, it's more than just fighting for the fact that they are not just illegally, unjustifiably incarcerated, but the fact that we have also lost one during this process. So I just wanted to mention that as well. So, Mona, what's going on this week? This whole week there's some activities happening.
Yeah, it's a full week of activities. On Monday, the 7th of May, there's going to be a demonstration of sorts. MOVE supporters are going to be at 52nd and Market Streets, handing out flyers and talking to people about, you know, activities the rest of the week, and mainly about Saturday, May 12th, our, you know, program at Abiding Truth Ministries. But at 5 o'clock, MOVE supporters are going to be out at 52nd and Market, straight in the hood, okay?
All right.
And Tuesday, the 8th, we're going to be at Calvary Church at 48th and Baltimore Avenue at 7 p.m. And Lynn Washington, Teresa Schultz, and Betsy Piet from the International Action Center are going to be there on a panel where they're going to discuss the film MOVE, a documentary that was done a few years ago, And that's going to be shown. The film is going to be shown. And then there will be a panel discussion afterwards. Lynn Washington is a journalist who was on the scene in 1978 and in 1985. He teaches journalism at Temple University Center City right now. But he always speaks out on what he saw and what he knows happened in May of 85 and in August of 78. Teresa Schultz, for those of you who don't know, is the daughter of longtime political prisoner Russell Schultz, Russell Maroon Schultz. Not only has Russell been in prison, I think like 39 years now, but he has been in the hole most of those years because he has always made attempts to escape that imprisonation. Mm-hmm. And officials, prison officials, have used that to try to justify keeping him in the hole for so many years. But a campaign was initiated tonight to get him out of the hole, out of solitary confinement. So Teresa Schultz is his daughter. On Wednesday the 9th at A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue, there's going to be a write-in to the parole board and to the state judiciary committees, as well as the federal, the U.S. judiciary committees on, you know, what's happening with the Move 9. You know, their continued imprisonment, unjust imprisonment. So people are attacking the parole board and the state and federal judiciary committees. And also people are going to be writing the Move 9 as well.
Wonderful.
So that's going to be on Wednesday the 9th. On Thursday the 10th, there's going to be another screening of a film done on Move that focuses on 78, actually from 77, May of 77 to May and August of 78. And that's going to be 6 o'clock in the evening at the African American Museum, 7th and Arch Streets. And after the screening of that film, there's going to be a panel discussion on who are the Move 9. And my sister Pam Africa is going to chair that discussion. Dr. Tony Montero, who is a professor of history at Temple University, and several people like I. Abdul John, a longtime Move supporter. He's been around since May of 77. Another supporter, Mega Milbourne, who is a more recent supporter. She's been around about 10 years now. And they're going to, you know, lead a panel discussion on who are the Move 9. On Friday the 11th, as I was telling the brother that was talking about the group he's involved in, Avenging the Ancestors, there's going to be a teaching on Frank Rizzo and police brutality here in Philadelphia. That's going to be at 7 p.m. at Black and Nobel, which is 1409 West Erie Avenue. It's a bookstore and really cultural center with attorney and activist Michael Cord and Barbara Easley, a former Panther who experienced the Rizzo years. And then Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 at Abiding Truth Ministries on the corner of 57th and Washington Avenue, we're having a program which is really going to be a working session. We don't need a whole lot of speakers. We don't need a whole lot of entertainment at this particular time for this particular meeting. We need to get down to brass tacks and start you know, laying out a strategy of pressure on mm-hmm. these officials to release the Move 9.
That's
you know,
right.
And that's what we're going to be talking about, educating, organizing, agitating for the liberation of the Move 9.
All right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Mona, give them some contact information.
Absolutely. I know people didn't, you know, or couldn't just write down all this stuff, so I'm going to refer you first to our website, which is www.onamove.com, and you will find all of this information on the website. Also, you can email us at onamove, that's onamoveLLJA at AOL.com. onamoveLLJA at AOL.com. And for our website, it's onamove, onamove.com. People can call me at 215-386-1165. So feel free to contact us any way you choose, you know. We don't hide. We don't keep our numbers secret and all of that. We're out here with the people, and we don't mind putting our phone number, our email address out there. We want people to contact us and work with us, because this revolution, this fight that we're involved in, this war that we're involved in, it's not over in Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or any place. It's right here at home. Right here at home. You know, the war was brought to us. We don't have a choice but wake up and start defending ourselves in this war that has been declared against us. And the first thing that you have to do in defending yourself is knowing who your enemy is and not being fooled or tricked by him.
And you know what, Mona, when you said that, it reminded me of something. Earlier, we were talking about violence and abuse of our women and girls and why we don't just call it domestic violence, why we call it violations of our women and girls. But as you were saying it ran across my mind that we're really dealing with domestic violence and domestic terrorism, you know, because... You know what I'm saying? Because when you talk about it in another context, domestic means at home, or you know,
yeah.
And so they talk about, when you talk about war, you're talking about domestic being like right here in this land, and then foreign being somewhere else. So we are in fact dealing with domestic terrorism and domestic
absolutely
violence.
And been dealing with it for a long time. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But yet, it's right there in our faces without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, our enemy, like I was saying earlier, they really got the best of both worlds. You know, raining down all this domestic terrorism on us and doing it, you know, with a free hand. I mean, being helped to do it. You know, I mean, it don't get no better than that for them. We got to wake up and start seeing what's going on here and understanding the urgent necessity to put a stop to it, to wake up and defend ourselves, you know? Defend ourselves.
Well, my sister, I thank you again, as usual. Like the brother said, you definitely are motivating and inspiring, and, you know, it's just always wonderful to hear you, to have you with us, because in this day and age, it just seems like, you know, so many of our people are just for whatever reason, they've fallen for the okie doke, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we just, they just gone. They just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always wonderful to see the soldiers still standing and keeping it strong and keeping it moving. So we thank you. We definitely thank you. And family, again, this coming Saturday, of course, Mona, give us that address and time again.
This Saturday from 12 to 3 p.m., we're going to be at Abiding Truth Ministries Church on the corner of 57th and Washington, and we're going to, you know, really nail down some concrete strategy for agitating, organizing, you know, moving people for the liberation of our family to move nine, and not just the move nine, but what we do for the move nine can and will be implemented for political prisoners across the country. You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
We got a lot of them, too many of them. Brother Rochelle McGee has been in prison long after Angela Davis, you know, was released. He's still in jail, being kept in the hole, been in the hole for decades, you know. And people don't even really know about him. He was Angela Davis's co-defendant, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's still in jail.
You know, and
we got a lot of work to do.
One of the people we wanted to talk about a little tonight, of course, was Sundiata Kolei, because this marked the May the 2nd, I believe it was, marked the date of which, of course, Zaid Shakur was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Asada, they attempted to kill Asada Shakur on the New Jersey Turnpike. I believe that was May the 2nd. So, you know, here we have Sundiata still incarcerated.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah,
so,
we got a lot of work to do.
There's no question. And again, you know, as you said, Mona, and as we have often said here at New Day, a people who will not stand up for those who have stood up for us, really, they don't deserve a certain type of respect, which is why, unfortunately, in many instances, we're not getting the type of respect.
Absolutely.
Because any people that will not stand up for those who have given their lives for our liberation, hey, that says a lot about a people. In the real world, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We cannot go out like that. We cannot continue to show. First of all, it's not only disrespectful to our ancestors, it's also an additional burden on that next generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're leaving
our
children and their children unprotected. What kind of message are we sending them?
Right.
You know? What kind of message? When you wonder why the children are so confused and misled and into so many things that we know they shouldn't be, it's not hard to understand why. It's not hard to understand why. We have to set a strong example, strong righteous example for, you know, our children. And that is not being done when they see us just abandoning soldiers who have stood up for us, you know?
That's right.
Who have fought and are still fighting the fight for us. You know, MOVE people, Matulu, Sundiata, Sekou, all of them.
Yeah.
No, none of us are doing what we do just for ourselves.
That's right.
I mean, of course, revolution starts with self, but the fight that we're fighting, it's not just for us. It's for all of us.
That's right.
It's for all of us to lift this yoke of oppression off of all of us. You know?
Mm.
Now, what kind of message are we sending our children when they see an example like that and we won't support it? People won't support it and acknowledge it. I mean, that's the wrong message.
Indeed, and that's why I think we're seeing some of the behavior that we're seeing.
Because absolutely.
There's a violation that's being put forward by too many of us, not us per se, but too many of our people not doing what it is that needs to happen. And as a result, we're seeing certain other types of behavior manifest in our community. So, you know, it is what it is. But, Mona, thank you so much again.
Thank you for the opportunity, you know, to speak to your audience and to put out some information.
Always. And for the record, family, I know that you all know we'll be doing something on Saturday as well, and Mona and both Pam are going to try to make it over to our event a little later on that day. Because we support one another.
That's right.
All right, my sister. So
okay,
again,
now on the move. Long live John Africa. Long live revolution.
On the move.
On the move.
All right. All right, family. We were just talking again with Sister Ramona Africa. Of course, for those who do not know, Sister Ramona Africa is, in fact, the Minister of Information for the Move organization, but she's also just our sister, as you can tell. Okay, as you can also tell, we are going to go over tonight. We're going to go a half an hour longer than what we normally do, so hope you will appreciate that. We certainly enjoy doing it. And with that said, we're going to share something with you that we think you might like. Let's see if we can pull it up for you.
You're at war with MOVE, parole heroes. For members of the MOVE organization, especially those who survived the August 8, 1978 police attack on their home in Powhatan Village in West Philadelphia, the system is always at war with them. In August of 78, that war was waged with hundreds, indeed thousands of bullets fired into a home with men, women, and children. It was waged with water cannons, which flooded their home. It was waged with the weapons of law, with biased judges and ambitious DAs, and with unprecedented and unjust prison sentences of 30 to 100 years. Today, it is being waged by parole agencies, who are government officials using rubber stamps to go through the motions of parole hearings, where no one hears. Under the usual protocols, if a prisoner has no major misconduct for several years prior to his or her minimum sentence, they are presumed to have earned parole. Indeed, some prisoners get what's called pre-release, or a release to the community center or halfway house, pending the passage of their minimum, and then parole. I said usual. But when it comes to MOVE, there is no usual. New protocols, new procedures, new regulations are placed on the table, new ways of saying no, because they're MOVE, because of their beliefs. Today, the 8 surviving MOVE members have spent almost 34 years in prison, 4 years over their minimum. The women are honor prisoners and have been recommended by the prison staff members for parole. They've been denied several times. Similarly, if the men weren't MOVE members, they've been gone years ago. It's high time this long war came to an end. 34 years for a bogus, trumped-up third-degree murder is 34 years too much. Contact the MOVE organization. Let's bring our brothers and sisters home where they belong. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we just heard from none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal.
as we all know, nobody says it like Mumia. And used to say, even though he too is still incarcerated for 30 years, he still speaks out for others, as usual, as he's always done. We must continue to fight for the freedom of our freedom fighters in this day and age. No matter where you live, no matter where you're from, no matter what you call yourself, if you've experienced anything in this country that has to do with oppression, you're in the ghetto. We want to remind you that on Saturday we will begin our kickoff rally for the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Our Women and Girls. We'll be at Love Park from 3 to 5 p.m. Love Park is located at 15th and JFK Boulevard. But all over the country there will be some activities going on, again, via through your telephone, your chats, whatever. Say something. Do something to bring greater attention to the fact that our women and girls are being beaten, molested, raped, murdered. Here in Philadelphia last year, Tovalia Owens, 21 years old, beaten up by 3 males, pregnant, already a mother, a student, died after being hit and then pushed to the ground where her head is hit and she dies. Three males. And the men in this city said nothing. Rakia Boyd, Chicago, cop shoots her in the head. Where are our people when it comes to our women and girls? And yes, we know that brothers are molested too. But let's be real. The percentage, according to the records, is saying 15%. That means 85% is our women and girls. When will we stand up to protect and defend the mother of civilization? Well, I give thanks for my brothers. Those brothers, those black men who have taken the stand, who have shown their support, we thank you all. Come out on Saturday, May 12th, the day before Mother's Day. That's why we picked that day. We have 10 years now, the day before Mother's Day, because we represent the mother of civilization, the black woman. Nobody else can say that but us. But sisters, it's time for you to step forward. It's time for you to rise up. Let our daughters see the women saying, hell no. You will not exploit our daughters anymore. You will not rape our daughters. You will not molest our sisters. You will not beat our women and get away with it no more. Enough is enough.
Go get her.
you want to get involved, and I hope that you do, please send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802. Come out or send us a name of someone that you know in your community, in your family, who has been murdered, who has been harmed in some way, who has been violated, so that we can hail them up, so that we can remember them. We want to also remember one of our sisters again here in Philadelphia. Again, these things keep happening all over the country, but you hear very little about it. Why is that? Why is it that if, unless it's a Jenna Six or a Trayvon Martin, you don't hear anything? When the last time you heard something about a black woman being killed or murdered? The 11 black women in Cleveland, Ohio. Bianca Jones in Detroit, still missing. You don't see her plastered all over the TV. Why is that? It is bad enough that the so-called powers that be disrespect our women. It is even worse when we do. So this is why we are initiating the national campaign. We ask you all to become members in some kind of way, support member, active member. There is a brothers group, and these black men are going to do what only men can do. So we'll be giving you more information about the Brothers to Brothers Symposiums, the Brothers in Support, as well as the Black Women's Defense League. Again, we want to remind you of all the women who have been murdered, all the girls and women who have been molested. Many of you have seen in your families, your mothers, your grandmothers, your aunt, your sister beaten. And you think that this did not leave a mark in your brain? Well, trust me, it did. So we've got to now address it as a family, and we've got to also heal from it as well, and that is what we plan to do. For those of you who have experienced this within your family, there now is going to be something specifically for you, for us, coming from us as a people, coming from our culture, coming from our modality, so that we don't have to deal with what somebody else thinks. And certainly, won't be dealing with it the way they do. We understand post-traumatic slave syndrome. We understand what it means to be black in America. No one else can tell us about that experience. Therefore, no one can tell us what we need to do about it. So with that said, family, again, we hope that starting next Saturday, you will continue to support our campaign. It is coming nationwide. We will be holding sessions throughout our communities throughout the U.S., including our Hop, Skip, Jump, Run-a-thon to bring attention and awareness and other kinds of information about these issues. Again, we're talking about violations of all types. And therefore, we're talking about lessening it and ultimately eliminating it. So, again, please send us your inquiries to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Okay, let's see. Before we close out for tonight, let me just check our live wire here just to see if there was any more comments that someone may want to get in for tonight. I think we do have one. Okay, caller, we're going to go to 7778. Did you have a comment or a question for us for tonight?
Yeah, this is Darian. Yeah, you say on May 12th, yeah, the sisters that's listening, you know, I would recommend that, you know what I'm saying, they get the message about Rekia Boyd and Jasmine Thorne. And also, you know, go out to the, you know, any organizations such as any churches, you know, and tell them to raise awareness too. And also tell them about the petition at www.rightsforrikia.com. And tell them to click where it says main navigation. It will say Journey for Justice, what did Rikia do? There's the news clip on there that says dirty cop killed innocent black woman. And down below, there's something that when you scroll down on your left side, it'll say sign a petition. It's a box that has a picture where she's looking downward. There's a red button that says sign a petition. But I would like our sisters to know that, you know, Rikia, it's Rikia today. It can be your mother, your loved one tomorrow. So don't be biased when it comes down to, you know, the sisters and everything, because their justice is just as important as Trayvon and Ramali Graham and Sean Bell and Rodney King, whoever, you know. So women do not be scared to stand up. Stand up for what is right. You are all Rikia boys, and all black men are all Trayvons and Rodney Kings. Stand up what is right, sisters.
Well, brother, I thank you so much for your comments. And, you know, you are so on point. I mean, this could be anyone's child, anyone's daughter, anyone's sister, you know, and to hear black men, you know, say that it is time that we stand up. Now, this rally that's coming up on Saturday is for all of us. Everyone who wants to be involved is welcome to participate. But again, we're very focused. See, this last year was really the final straw, for at least for me, when that young sister, when three men jumped on her, that was it. A year or so prior to that, it was another sister, one of our family members, who was killed in the street, ran over. And again, you know, people in this city just you know, act like this stuff is not even happening. So, and it's not just here in Philly. This is all over the country. The life of a black woman is like, it's not even as equal to dogs. You see more in the news about some dog getting run over than you will about a black woman. And so we have to look at all of this and realize that they're looking at all of us. If we don't see our men stand up and say something about this, the enemy is looking at that and laughing. So it really falls on all of us. So, brother, I thank you for, you know, your comment. Now, you also mentioned there was another sister that something happened. She was dragged or something?
Yes, Anna Brown. She was a 29-year-old black woman from St. Louis, Missouri. Yes, in Richmond Heights. She was a homeless. She was a nice-looking 29-year-old light brown skin complexion woman. What happened was she was she was leaving the hospital, and the cops, you know, she was like, she wasn't feeling well. And the white male cops, they dragged her into the back of the police car, and she'd been complaining about blood clots in her legs. They had spread from her legs to her lungs, and she was behind bars. She kept complaining about, the pain that she was having, and they never gave her help, so she ended up dying behind bars. They went back there, saw her dead. They found her dead. And then, you know, there was no justice for those. The cops were still on active duty, the white male cops. Her name is Anna Brown. She's 29 years old.
Okay, I'm going to definitely look that up because I had not heard about it. But there are so many cases. I mean, just like there are with brothers, there are so many cases that we will never hear about. It just so happened that this is election time. And, you know, it's really in the best interest of certain people to get out here and act like they really care about something. But if you listen very carefully, the underlining of what they're saying is, you got to register to vote, you see. So these opportune times are really utilized to push other agendas. But some of us do this every day. Period. That's our agenda right there, to make certain that we fight for the justice and the freedom of our people. you know, just like we just heard Sister Ramona Africa. You may not have ever seen Sister Ramona close up, but for those who had, you can still see the burns on her arms. She was burned. She had third-degree burns on her arms when they put the handcuffs on her that day. And she still has the marks on her arms from it. So, you know, so these are not people. We're not dealing with people who just do this at certain given times of the year. These are people that fight every day. And this is how you know the difference. You know, so, but again, I thank you, you know, so very much for your comment and, you know, for continuing to support, you know, the national campaign and other activities that's relevant to uplifting our women and girls. So we give thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Okay, Stanley. Mm-hmm. Okay, what we're going to do is get ready to close out for this evening. And we want to remind you that it's so important that we continue to strive for self-determination and liberation. Here in Philadelphia, we are so blessed and honored to be a part of something that's up and coming here in our community. Finally, finally, you hear people talk about self-determination. You hear people talk about independence, but rarely do you really see it nowadays. Most people are running after a check, a grant, a corporate sponsor, and don't want to do much of anything else if they're not doing that. Well, we are able to see something happen a little different here in Philly, finally, and I can guarantee you it's going to change the scope of things for real. So you're going to be hearing more about what's going on with the Our Collective, and we're going to be bringing you some very, very exciting information very soon about what that is, why it is, and how you can get involved. Now, with that said, come August, we're going to be hosting, meaning the Million Women Movement, we will be hosting the first national convention for the beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists. It's called the BBBCO. That's right. And it's meant exactly the way it sounds, the BBBCO. You hear that name in there, so you know what we're talking about. But this is a new membership component for the Million Women Movement because we are about self-determination. We know what to do and how to do it. Now, if you are a beautician, a braider, a barber, or a cosmetologist, but you are one who wants to help make a difference in your community, in our communities, then we have something for you. This membership is a special membership for folk who not only are about their business, but also about the community and want to do something to help uplift it. We're going to tell you more about that next week, but I can tell you this. August 31st, lock that in on your calendar. We'll be holding the first national BBBCO convention. It's also in commemoration of Madam C.J. Walker, who held the first Beauty Culturalist Convention right here in Philadelphia on August 31st, 1917. So now MWM is going to have its own MWM agents, so that sisters in particular who are coming out of prison or who are coming out of abusive situations or other transitional types of things, they will now have a way to do that realistically by becoming a bit more financially stable and independent. So what the BBBCO will have available for our community and MWM for our women is products, natural products made by black folks. So we're going to tell you more about that next week. But you're going to see now what some of us been talking about and what some try to sell us out for, okay? But anyway, family, we want to thank all of you for tuning into this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. There's a lot of exciting things that is getting ready to happen, and we are very, very, you know, just pleased and honored that we're able to be a part of it and we're able to see it. We want to also, again, for those of you who are in the Philadelphia area,
We don't know any of the funeral going home services arrangements yet for Brother Ahmed Tahir. We certainly, as soon as we find out, we'll definitely keep you all posted. Again, we send much love and much respect out to his family and friends and you know, just all of the people who really he has, you know, brought so much to their lives. We want to, you know, again, send our love and prayers out to them all. Okay, so we're going to close out for tonight, and again, we want to remind you that we will be back next week. We want to also remind you that we must keep Asada Shakur safe. Of course, the last we heard, the $1 million bounty has gone up, I think, now to $3 million. So, again, please keep our sister in your prayers and your thoughts. She must remain free, and we know that as far as Cuba is concerned, she certainly will stay free. But always remember that the power of the people always helps to keep these things in its proper place and order as well. Okay, lastly, there was one other thing we wanted to mention to you, and let's see, I don't remember what it is offhand, but I can tell you this. We certainly hope that you will consider becoming a member of the Million Women Movement. We have several different types of membership now available. Whatever it is your interest is, I'm sure we have something for you. I want to also remind you that we have extended the Little Sisters essay and poetry contest. Of course, we're taking the applications up to June the 31st. And with that, we will be selecting our little sisters to go to Africa with us, and we'll be telling you more about that next week as well, because that is certainly developing as we speak, actually, and we are getting very, very ready for that. All right, family, again, I want to thank all of you for tuning into this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and certainly, you know, thank all of you for your continued support. And we want to remind you that we must continue to fight for the freedom of all of our political prisoners. Certainly, it is time to stand up for the mother of civilization, because without that, none of us are going anywhere. Trust me. But at any rate, we know that you know that, and we just ask that you continue to uphold the honor and the dignity of our mother, and with that, to raise up our daughters and our sisters. So until next week, family, again, we're going to leave you with the thought that we kind of always leave you with, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But we also remind you that there can definitely be no real peace until there is justice. And we will not rest until that is obtained. Until next week, family, again, Tutanana, and of course we say Ma'at Hotep. Pamoja to the Shinda, together we shall win, and as quiet as it's kept, we've already won. Until next time, peace out.